This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part one of our February 23rd, 2010 Jimmy Doan Show.
Okay. All right, we're good to go.
Good to go.
All right, well, here we go. How about this?
This is Jimmy Doan.
Jack Rhodes.
Councilor Curtis.
And Engineer Eric.
And you're listening to the Jack Rhodes Show.
And we are
Jimmy
because
Doan.
You know who's in the freaking house tonight?
Oh, no.
Yeah, back from the
Jack Rhodes, wait a minute.
Jack Rhodes on back. Air.
What we say is out.
Oh, man, I'm out of the bunker. I'm back from my hiatus with a little more high than atus.
Well,
good to be back.
We do have a story, of course, that's of mucho interest to you about the marijuana story. I sent you that.
Mucho marijuana.
This is
only Jimmy Nuts. Who's
right
the job
there,
is,
right
you know.
There. Number one on the list is the
number
marijuana
one.
Story.
But before we get started, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, the web stat was always good. We have the usual crowd. Off the charts as usual.
And
we have the usual people from Sverige. Yeah, hello, Kariu. Now you know that, all that stuff. And we had
Jimmy speaks Swedish.
I speak, yeah. Yeah, they just volik that tala svenska.
Yeah, they knew.
Yeah, so, and he speaks, you know, Espanol too, right?
Well, lay it out there.
Okay. Yeah, lo siento, pero. Okay. Anyway, the web stats looking good, so you can we can check on, get all the cartoons and so forth. The main thing I want to do, though, is before we get started, and I will do this at the end of the show, and leave a link to this.
Right. Jack Rhodes.
Beat Jack Rhodes, that's right.
I heard you guys were light on the links while I was
doing this.
I'll make up for it.
Engineer,
don't worry.
As you know, Jimmy does a lot of Big R research, and, and as part of the Big R research, Jimmy listens to some of the competing liberal commie shows.
Uh-huh.
Is there competition?
Well, they're not competition because they're commie liberal people.
And, commie liberals,
yeah,
right.
Well, they're just young people that have no social. So they're like
fools.
We were when we were very young. Yeah, right. Jerks, whatever.
Fools.
Anyway, the couple of them, Blast the Right is one, and another one is...
The Gab Fest.
The Gab Fest. Now, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. What I'd like to have happen is our listeners to go and listen to the Gab Fest, and you just Google Gab Fest at Slate Magazine or whatever.
Don't fools.
Well, no. Anyway, listen to it. It's about a 30-minute show. They come on once a week. It's hilarious. I mean, we did a clip, as you know. Remember, last time we were on, I clipped out part of it, and we parodied.
Oh, you're right. That was the woman who
the girl,
said
yeah.
They're going to eliminate all just the bad part of the risk.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was the. Yeah.
We're just going to eliminate the bad decisions.
That's
people
right.
Are
and
making.
So we'll be left with the good ones.
Genius.
Anyway,
right.
No. What could be better than that? Anyway, the point is they're having a contest.
For and world's so, worst argument?
No, they're having a contest for people. They're supposed to write in and say why they listen to the Gab Fest. But the way it works is this. After you listen to it, you email Jimmy. And you say, I listened to it, and it was just the greatest show in the world. You say something about it, okay? Then I get to submit that to the Gab Fest, and
got
there's
it.
Like a big prize.
Oh.
There's like a tote bag or something.
So Jimmy will win the tote bag.
So I'm trying to win this thing.
Oh,
and
we're going
to
put a link on our website. Help Jimmy win the tote bag.
That's
wow.
it.
Oh,
so,
we got it.
No. It's,
right.
So I'm real interested in this.
All right.
But it is one of my favorite shows because they're extremely entertaining.
So that's the most important item of the
that's
day.
That's the most important
that
item.
Is
that's
definitely
right.
the most important.
Tote
and of course
bag
the,
for Jimmy.
That's
yeah.
right. Okay. The other two.
Always ahead of the curve here at the Jimmy Doan Show.
The other two websites that we always link to and we got to have are the School Sucks podcast, which is really good. He does pretty well. And
porn.com.
And
oh, no, not that one.
Oh,
okay.
Did you saw where sex.com is up for like $1 million?
Oh, Jimmy fell for the bait.
Fell for the shot for all my digression fans out there.
Fell for the bait. You were about to say, Jimmy, the other school site was...
Everybody should read every day after midnight. They should read lewrockwell.com. On Lou Rockwell, lewrockwell.com, and they have about a half a dozen or 12, or maybe a dozen or maybe even 12.
Half a dozen or 12.
Or half a dozen or six.
Maybe 12.
Or somewhere in between, articles that are very good, libertarian-type stuff or complaints, and then they have a blog. Good reading. Jimmy does that research all the time.
All the time.
Right.
So, moving on. The first one.
Who we got here today, Jimmy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who do we have here?
There's no one here.
We have Jack Rhodes, who is back from, as we say.
Jack is back.
I'm Jack.
We are
Jack
so
back.
Happy to have Jack. We've
back
got
Jack.
Counselor Curtis. We have mucho legal stuff today.
Oh, okay.
Mucho legal
I'm ready.
Problems.
I got my
And we
idea.
Have Ooh. For our other viewers. Now, listen, here's, we have lovely Lisa here. And, but now, look, guys, what you're supposed to do, yes, this is the problem is...
Wait, here's the deal.
You
what
look
is this?
Marvelous.
You look marvelous.
And
that's
you
right.
know who you are. And
that's
you
right. The problem that we've got is we have a lot of guys that listen to this show.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to look at us.
No. It's not that. The problem is their ears shut down when their eyes are functioning. They can only do one sense at a time.
Right.
So the
one sense.
All brain capacity
is focused.
Ocular vision only.
Your entire brain is taken.
And I've, so heard, I've heard that it actually helps the male brain focus if you look at breasts for at least 30 minutes a day. Did
and
you
this
know
duet. I, and
that is
in
true.
Fact, I have found that it's the little tiny brain that works very well in that department. And you'd be surprised. It rises to the occasion.
I don't know, Jack, but
it's relaxing.
I don't know if you're right, but I'm going to give it a try.
That's okay. Right. So that's what you're saying. We now offer that for our viewers as well as our
right.
listeners.
Well, we probably have mostly anybody that's going to actually listen to the show is probably ladies. Our Fargo was our. We got Angie and so forth. And oh, Nicholas, by the way, is back in Alaska.
Thank you, Nicholas, for writing.
And
we've
got again. And we have.
And by the way, Nicholas, here you go. This is a nice shot of Lisa. Woo!
There she is.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. And we were supposed to talk about something. He was.
We news.
Actually did.
We have news.
We have news. And we have engineer Eric here, who's not going to be on the camera tonight for some reason, but he's going to take all care of some of the sound effects. And Mrs. Jimmy is in the studio.
Mrs. Jimmy.
No camera for her, although she is at least as lovely as anybody. It was lovelier
Absolutely.
Than anybody here.
So Jimmy will be on his best behavior.
Best behavior.
Which is still really bad.
Well, Mrs. Jimmy has gotten used to it. Gotten used to Jimmy over the years. She also shuts down some of the senses when Jimmy's around.
So, she has
selective censoring.
Not listen. She has that ability.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, we have the Poltergeist. The Poltergeist is here.
Poltergeist.
He is the one who is manning the cameras and the upload to Justin TV.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, anyway, first item on the list was marijuana use by seniors go up as boomers age. Now, hard to believe.
No. Well, sure everybody who was at Wood Stock was 60 is 65 now. So
exactly,
that,
but
that qualifies for senior.
But what I thought was funny about this was,
choke it up, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they just legalizing it. California.
It's obvious. It takes generations to get through some of this stuff. And as the Woodstockies, get to be in the legislature,
coming, man.
It's going to be like totally legal. And
it's coming like the Michael Jackson indictment. But we'll talk about that later.
But. Okay. What I love is they talk about some of the people they interviewed. They're missing out a lot of fun and a lot of relief.
Yeah, man.
Now, whether they resume the habit of smoking or whether they simply understand that it's no big deal and it shouldn't be a crime in large numbers, they're on our side. That's the normal people, or NORML people.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Well, of course, what's interesting is
wow, you knew that?
When I was growing up, it was considered, you watched Reefer Madness,
right.
Which, of course,
it's
is
going
just,
to kill you.
Even Misty Three
Kicks in your eyes.
Misty 3000 wouldn't put that on her.
Don't get your dick bigger than this, man.
Drive you crazy.
It turns out, I didn't realize this, but 14 states enjoy medical marijuana laws.
Yes,
and
14.
And, one guy says, looks like I can get by without narcotics. Now, this is gonna hurt the...
Oh, we got a little background music. Yeah.
Keep going, Jimmy.
But now, of course, what happens is we get the experts that come in and say, but then there's the risk. Health problems already faced by other older people can be exacerbated by regular marijuana use. One of the risks is you might fall down and become dizzy, increases the risk of heart disease, and it can cause congenitive impairment. I guess that means... after you pass 70, you have a hard time passing on your genes.
So now they pass out the life alert, necklace with every prescription. So. Smoking is can never be good for. I don't think.
Anyway, this is some doctor at the University of Chicago Medical Center. He's talking about said he'd caution about using it, even if the patient cites the benefits. And he says there are many other better ways to achieve the same effects. Now, he doesn't.
Well, and one of
he doesn't list them in this article.
Well, I'll tell you.
You go to him and for $200.
I got the blue ones. I got the red ones.
Well, they've been doing this on some of the mainstream late night TV. They've passed a lot of these laws recently. They're going down on the strip, in LA, and they're asking all these medicinal marijuana users standing there. Well, what'd you get your card for? And the guy's, oh man, my back hurts, man.
Yeah,
my back, man, really. So they're kind of exposing the fraudulent side of it. But yeah, but also medicinal. What were you going to say? What are the legal the advantage to legalization is?
Yeah, I was going to say another advantage to that is that the product will be distributed through other delivery methods, not just smoke, and all the detriments. I mean, and now people smoke it, but now out in California,
like they have a patch.
No, like brownies and right. Whatever mm-hmm. else they've got. They got like all kinds of food. What's that, Lisa?
Cookies and coffee.
Cookies, coffee, milk, butter.
There you
milk.
Go.
Milk.
Oh, yeah.
Milk.
And milk.
It gives new name to the M&Ms.
Ooh.
Milk and marijuana.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And how about and Krishan chocolates?
Krishan chocolates. That's right. If you're going, in Washington, D.C., down in Chinatown, you go past and see Krishan chocolates.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, of course, one guy says he says his eyes no longer turn red and he no longer gets the munchies, apparently, after, you know. He says the big problem now is legal. One thing that's not covered in this article that I thought was interesting, some of the people that want to legalize it say it's a boon if you regulate it and tax it.
Well, and that's, they're already getting the taxes, you know. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in taxes just from California alone. So multiply that times
a billion.
Well, no,
times a billion
times 50,
48.
Right, right. 48. Everybody but Florida.
Right, maybe. Right, right. In Alaska. So,
right,
but
57 if you ask Obama. So.
So anyway, the deal is that of course it always gets me, and we're going to talk about this in another one of the things here on the list. Is so many people cite the reason to do something good as an increase in revenue to the government.
And
I'm just, you know, to use that.
Well, it's all part of the mentality.
It's all about the money.
The Obamianism.
Right. It's all about the, well, you're going to talk about that too. Do you want to move on now to the Obama wants education benchmarks to meet a higher standard?
Absolutely,
sure,
he does. Jimmy,
okay,
this is
education.
No, this hallelujah.
We got education music, right?
We got education music.
Yeah.
We don't need that's not it.
No, that's it. Oh, that's it.
Oh, look at that.
We're waiting for the pros.
Hey, it's like 11 seconds too late, so I was helping. See how it flowed right into there. So
what I love about this, of course, is education is one of the most, it's about as local as you can get. I mean, it's even more local than your local grocery store. And yet it's bad enough that we have a countywide school board, which of course, as Mark Twain said, first God invented idiots for practice and then school boards he perfected. and then that's local. Then you have the state, of course, which it gets into the education. Now the feds want to make everybody equal, all 320 million of us, the same.
That seems fair.
It's a revision of the No Child Left Behind.
Which didn't work.
It will give a further boost to the state-led movement toward common standards, a groundbreaking development for public education in which current expectations for students vary widely from coast to coast.
We have to have some common standards.
The $14.5 billion annual education aid for students from poor families would be tied to the state's action on standards. Only those that have what the administration calls college and career ready standards would qualify for the funding known in education circles as the Title I program. And of course, what it means is you have to pass the official brainwashing exam test that says it's like re-education of Pol Pot. And if you can answer the socialist questions correctly, then you pass the
ding,
next.
Ding, which ding, of ding, these ding, sentences ding. Is grammatically correct? Hugo Chavez is a wonderful leader.
Right.
Hugo Chavez is a fabulously wonderful leader.
Yeah. Hugo Chavez ain't so hot, except he's really great.
Right.
Hugo.
Haven't broken that one out in a while.
So anyway,
well, we're waiting
what
for
I
you.
Love yeah, this, yeah. as usual, comes in the last sentence of this thing. Under the No Child Left Behind, which George W. Bush signed in 2002, states are free to set standards without federal guidance. Experts say that many states have lowered the state. We talked about this. Have lowered the standards in order to get the money.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, what a shocker that is.
I have heard literally every person I talk to that's associated with education or has kids is telling me that you can graduate with straight A's and pass your AP exams and not be able to compose a legitimate sentence.
Well, we have what, you know, Gino's over in, he's an advisor, you know, over in Palatka. And I think he mentioned something like over half of the people that go to that community college over there have to have remedial math and English. Half. In other words, what are you talking about? What have you been doing for 12 years? Oh, well, yeah, I've been having a good time. So I'm over here. Anyway, what I love this.
Sign me up.
It's one of those. It's kind of like six, maybe 12.
What I like about you. Well, six or maybe or half a dozen, whatever. take a choice. So anyway, this is what I love.
It's good to be back, Jimmy. It's good to be back. You know, I've been saving all. This is my best stuff.
If this is your best.
No, this is all I got.
this is all you got, huh? Okay.
This is it.
I have a good education story.
Well, wait, let me just finish this last sentence here. It's hilarious. Because it's the education secretary, Arne Duncan, told the National Governors Association on Sunday, we have to stop lying to children. We have to look them in the eye and tell them the truth at every stage of their educational trajectory.
I'm thinking, that's hilarious.
You know, what they do for a living is lie.
Yeah.
All they do. And, you know, this is, got it. You know, this shows you don't have to pay people that much to be a congenital, 100% all the time liar. I just wonder what Arne does. This is a he, I guess. Is Arne a he? Arne Duncan?
Well, I'm guessing he's a he.
Some kind of administrator.
Well, he's the education secretary.
Right. He's an administrator.
But he's way up there. And I mean, I just wonder what he tells his kids when he goes home at night. I mean, he just.
Well, he genuinely can believe it, Jimmy.
You could. I guess for that kind of money, you can.
He believes it.
You can wall off the truth.
Hallelujah.
You know, look.
He has seen the light.
This is what we run into this all the time. It's not that these people aren't well-meaning. I mean, if you went down to the public school and you went into and got the math teacher out, she knows some math. She wants to teach some kids, okay? But it's just that when you compare that to the incentivization that's created by the free market, there's no comparison.
Right.
And they just don't understand that this system is doomed to collapse.
Doomed.
Because it'll never be able to compete because it doesn't have to compete.
Right.
And it's just going to waller into nothingness.
When you think about it, how was education done in the 1790s? I mean, you brought to school a slate and a stone that was like a chalk
or
something.
Well, at that point...
And the teacher stood up there.
You still have yours, right, Jimmy? Yeah.
it happens to have on my slate... The solution to
an autographed Pythagoras.
solution. No, but at that time, Jimmy, the purpose of school at that time was to teach morality and to teach ethics and stuff. They weren't getting into
obviously
getting
they failed
into
over here.
Well, obviously screwed that one.
Exactly.
There's always been Latin and Greek and mathematics.
Right.
I mean, you know, mm-hmm. the classical things and history.
On my slate, I have the proof of Fermat's Last Theorem.
Right.
So,
I know. Autograph. Yeah, I know.
Multiplied by by Avogadro's number and signed by both of them.
And Plato.
Socrates. So great.
Yeah, so great. Yeah. That's right.
He was your man. My man, So.
So. That's right. We called him So back
so
then.
See, oh,
so,
baby.
Socrates.
Yeah.
Hey, So.
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
All right.
I'll tell you.
And the Greek for that is So great. No, I don't know what to look at.
Hi, Bredo Sticko.
Oh, that was that's an inside joke.
That's
inside
Italian.
Joke. That's Italian.
All right. So did we finish that one off?
Yeah, I finished it.
Let me tell you, this dovetails into two other stories, okay? And the major one, this is not a digression.
Oh, okay.
It's not a digression.
It's a dovetail.
That's a segue.
It's a miter.
That counts. It's fully new and awesome. Listen to this.
Okay.
Obama has embraced nuclear energy.
Well, that's what he said.
Nuclear energy.
That's what he said.
Well, I mean, yeah, he'll do it.
Right.
He will do it. Okay. I'm telling you. Well, that's okay.
That's what will happen because
Jimmy, he's going to do it the same way they do everything else. They're going to fund it through, guess how? Government-backed loan.
Right.
Okay. Now, you know what that means? That means the bankers can loan the money to anybody. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You want to build a nuclear power plant?
In our backyard.
Now, what do you...
$400 billion dollar loan, please.
A little tiny nuclear.
Okay.
So tiny.
So my point is that what are the odds that the selection committee on who they're going to choose to build this nuclear power plant picks the most financially efficient and most financially stable company... of the ones that they have to choose from.
I would say about 3%. Jimmy the Greek's giving 3% on those odds right now.
It's my understanding they've already picked him, actually.
Oh,
that they that
they've already got them.
We got some winners.
They have. Let me put it. I don't know if they've actually picked them, but there were two or three in the article. There were two or three fairly large companies that were quote in the running pretty heavy.
Who had already sent their hookers up to the White House?
Exactly.
The representative.
Lobbyists.
The representative. Right.
And a lot of pictures of dead presidents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, to kind of line the walls,
right,
grease
right.
the trail,
right.
So yeah, no, that's already been.
That's how it happens.
And you know, so we get the worst of all situations here, Jimmy.
Hard to believe. You mean, wait a minute, this is our noble and caring government?
Let me back up a little.
Okay, go ahead.
He thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's being noble and caring.
Well, I think he thinks he's saying the right thing, because there is no way in hell he's going to actually do anything to move this forward. Have you heard? I haven't heard anything since he gave this speech.
$40 billion guaranteed.
We're supposed to get two of them built here pretty quick.
That's what they say.
Well, I think they'll do it. My point is, even if they do it, it's again because of the way that it's going to be funded. Chances of success diminish significantly relative to how they would have come out in a free market.
Oh, no question. In fact, one of the things that I was going to talk about, that actually is almost the same thing as this, is the Washington D.C. metro system, which is getting ready to collapse after it was put in service in 1976. And one of the reasons is, as always, there is a saying that says there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. However, the other side of this is a Jimmyism, is that there is nothing that is so absolutely doomed to failure as a government program that's made to last forever. And that, doomed from the start.
A permanent,
that Social Security will be forever. Okay, we doomed.
Right.
Medicare, doomed. we're going to set up a rail system to cover, Amtrak, doomed. I mean, anything that's put in permanent, the only thing I know that lasts longer than a government program is doomed from the start are statutes to people. And that's the only thing I can think of that actually lasts a little longer than the government program. But I'm thinking about the...
Really? A statute?
Statutes.
So I was thinking like nuclear waste.
No. Well, that's... But see, those are private things. No, that'll be taken.
Chromium. I don't know. I just made that up. This is my best stuff. I was thinking much longer.
Chromium.
Obominium.
Obominium. There's a great joke in there somewhere. I'll get back to you.
You get back to you. No, but I mean, it's interesting because they are talking about the...
Wait a second. I'm giving my best stuff out here, and we got the poltergeist adjusting the scam. I mean, this is not, it's all I got.
If you don't mind.
Oh, the breast cam.
Not even that.
He's zooming in a little bit.
Guest. Yeah. It rhymes with breast.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's a test.
Test? Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, we're ready to start now? Okay, let's go. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, people, let's keep this short.
Okay. So anyway, it's doomed to failure
from the start.
And as you say, one of the things that I did send a link around was the Bloom Energy. Did you all see that?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I don't remember saying that.
We'll put a link to that.
It's like 24 hours from now or something.
Yeah, no, the guy's going to announce it. Bloom Energy, by the time this show is up, it will have been made the news. But he's got these little cubicle things that are like run a whole house, put it in your basement, run your whole house, the whole day. It's like the...
Well, it's not that big. Jimmy's holding up his hand like it's the size of a hamster. It's like it's the size of your desk.
No, those are the big ones. The small one he showed on... If you watch the 60-minute thing
Trusting every aspect of our lives to a giant computer was the smartest thing we ever did.
The whopper.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the whopper, right? No, the point is, if you watch this thing, I mean, as I said to somebody, it could very well be a scam, but he's gotten $500 million from Kleiner Perkins or somebody.
Yeah, so did Bernie Madoff.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that we will find out here pretty quick.
We are, like 24 hours.
Well, no, they've already, apparently Google and eBay have already bought them, and they've been running for a year.
We're going to put a link to it.
Well, Walmart and some people have been testing them.
Right.
But I can tell you this. In 24 hours, there's either going to be a
it's going to be like this.
So this is some
cold,
kind of,
this cold fusion.
Exactly.
The cold fusion.
It's either going to be
meltdown.
It's either going to be something pretty cool, which apparently none of the other scientists in the world theorized.
Or it's going to be another alien autopsy.
Exactly. If Jonathan Franks comes on to announce it.
Who?
Jonathan Franks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Number two.
Number one.
Number one. Oh, number one. I'm sorry.
He's the XO.
Number two.
So this is some power source.
The number two always gets dead.
This is some power source that was they received from another planet, right?
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
That's what he's saying.
They reworked it.
They reworked it.
Cold fusion, man.
Get.
God damn it, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any good.
Exactly.
That's right.
But it doesn't. But it's not going to. I'll be the first one to
You're calling BS.
I'm calling BS on the black box.
I got one more. This one.
Gentlemen. Yeah. I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it. And I don't know if you want to trust the safety of our country to some silicone diode.
That is some silicone diode.
That's what it's come to.
Boy, I'll tell you, he's up on things, isn't he?
Oh, man, I mean, you know, this is like 88 or 84, you know.
Silicone diode.
There's six other people in the world that are liking that one.
They're laughing their ass off right now. Yeah.
And we're dedicated to you guys.
Yeah, right, is it Jimmy at JimmyDone.com? I was laughing my ass off. It's silicone diode.
NOFL, okay. Okay, anything else on that?
Well,
you're going to say you got something else?
Watch TV tonight, tomorrow, as soon as you hear this, and tell us if the little ball works, right?
Yeah, tell us if the ball
works. Yeah, I'll go buy one.
And of course, what might happen is when they show it and it goes, oops, and then takes out half of San Francisco.
What I was also thinking, too, another way to know something is going to go out of fashion right away is if Jimmy's the first to buy it.
Because Apple's counting on that iPad making them a lot of money.
Did you get one, Jimmy?
No, it's on the list.
They're not available yet. I've just seen you buy some pretty unusual things. First on the block, and ended up being the only one on the block.
What's your point?
Not everything.
But I mean, these are collectible items. They're rare now.
I understand.
We got a barely used Imperial Walker right out back.
Hey, if you want some of this rare stuff,
Jimmy has what we call house piles of technology around here.
We used to give away Jimmy junk.
By the way, I have a DIY here.
Ooh.
Let me just show this.
Oh, wow.
You need to write
in. Lucy Lisa over there, model that for.
Okay, we can do this. Okay, just a minute. Well, somebody has to come over and get it.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
No.
This is an official.
It's a kit.
It's a DIY.
Oh, okay. Do it yourself.
Here, take this over there.
I see.
But what I'm saying is somebody.
You could be lucky enough to win this.
Not win. It's win it like you win it on eBay.
So you have to answer a question.
You actually have to pay.
Right. Oh, look, there they are.
The camera doesn't follow you around, actually.
Right, unfortunately.
I mean, not this one.
What is all that dingling?
I guess somebody's phone was ringing. That's what I was looking at.
Oh, phone's ringing? The fans are calling in. Emails coming to Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
Yeah, right.
Or Jack at JimmyDone.com or Curtis at JimmyDone.com.
Or Lisa
Lisa. Actually, there's Lisa at JimmyDone.com.
DB at JimmyDone.com.
All right. I'm looking here, and there's nothing coming in.
Nothing coming in.
All right, Jimmy, what's next?
Okay, next is internet gambling.
What? Let's do it.
Internet gambling.
Legal.
No, this is
They're
yes,
trying to
exactly.
make it illegal. Tax
well,
it.
Well, it's interesting. The
hell is that? Not sure
it's
what
supposed to be a wheel spin.
No, okay. That was awful.
It really is pretty bad.
It was awful. Much better. Thank you, Vanna.
Okay. Poker. Apparently, there's some chance now that we're actually going to get internet gambling. The reason I bring this up
is... Oh, really? They're going to bring that back?
They're bringing
right
it back.
Now.
Partly bankrolled by offshore gambling companies, the campaign has already persuaded Obama administration to a delay enforcement of a 2006 law cracking down on internet wagers.
So they've already bribed Obama.
But you know who is for this? Apparently is coming for this. It's hard to believe, but Barney Frank, of all people, is one that, number one, wants
queer
to audit the Fed.
Queer bait
which
alert.
Is, which
hey,
is
hey.
Oh, can't say that.
Hello.
Hello, we can edit that out.
Yeah,
we're going to edit out broadcasting live. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, time machine.
Yeah, it's an unusual.
There's no 7-second delay over here, brother. No.
That would legalize and regulate, with legislation that would legalize and regulate poker, Barney Franks with his Mahjong and other online betting games. Of course, the federal government, which rarely prosecutes online gambling, would net billions of dollars in tax and licensing.
See, so and what they saw was that everybody is just taking their cash and going a little bit offshore.
Right.
And it's like, look, you got a choice. I mean, the we're going to spend the cash. You want us to stay onshore and you get your cut?
Pie? That's right.
Or we can go to the
But what is
Martinique.
Funny about this is it is
Grand Cayman.
There is a complete
underwater
immorality of them banning gambling for openers. I mean, it's just because obviously they love gambling here in Florida. We've got, you know, how many scratch-offs? We got Fantasy Five. Somebody here locally won it.
Oh, well, that's lottery. That's not gambling.
Oh, yeah, right. I have a 1 in 26 million shot of winning a couple of $1 million.
You're right. It's not gambling.
It's children.
Yeah,
it's
not gambling, all right.
It's for the children, though.
You got that right. It's a sure loser. But my point is that as long as you can gamble all you want, we don't. And they pay, they throw their little bone out there. They have what do you call it out there on I-75 billboard that says, if you have a compulsion to gamble, call this number.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can I call while I'm on the road?
Right. Yeah. And it leads to the Florida lottery number.
Right. No, it's Mo Sizlak. Hey, I'll take your bet.
Exactly.
I got you covered.
Yeah. You got a problem gambling?
Both of them gambling? No problem. We got it all here.
Exactly. You
got 4-1 in the 8th. 4-1 in the 8th.
What do you want? Lucky dog. Lucky dog in the
3rd. Hardly gambling. That's right. But I love this. The legislation put has alarmed the National Football League, Focus on the Family, and other internet gambling opponents who say that online betting, here we are, could encourage criminal activity, threaten children, and dramatically increase gambling addiction.
Threaten children.
Dramatically increase.
Man. You know, addiction, baby.
It's going to threaten children. Man, I can't make my spread. I don't care,
yes,
kid.
You can
put down the money.
That's it. Oh, we're gonna break
Rocco. Take care of the kid.
It was the Futurama movie where the guy put the baby on the table and like put it in there.
Here, I got this.
I'll see you and raise you the kid.
Right.
So anyway, the among the backers, but this is also interesting. No money here, right? Among the backers is former House. Let me just see if I remember. Among the backers is former House Majority Leader Richard Gephardt of Missouri, a lobbyist for PokerStars, a major internet gambling firm based in the Isle of Man, which is, you know, like a separate country off of England. Gephardt is registered to represent the firm on August 4th and earned $300,000 for representing these people.
Cool.
Okay, and do you think he's for gambling? No. Those opposed to legalized gambling include all four major U.S. sports leagues and numerous religious groups.
Religious freaks.
No, I mean, these people have bingo. Give me a break. They have bingo.
They got
bingo. And they're worried about gambling.
Are you sure it isn't time for a colorful metaphor?
Yeah, I think so.
And major casinos are divided on whether online gambling is a threat or an opportunity. Okay. The gambling opponents say the Democrats are unlikely to muster support during such a contentious year, but proponents say that the changing mores and the prospect of new tax revenue give the effort a better chance. The Justice Department views online gambling as illegal under the 1961 law aimed at mob bookies using telephone lines.
Boom.
No, but I mean, what's funny about this is it's the original law.
Okay, Eric, not now.
I was just trying to get my bet in.
But I love this. What's his name? Barney Frank has collected more than $100,000 in contributions from the gambling in a casino since 2007. He went out to a fundraiser in World Series of Poker in Las Vegas and took in more than $50,000 at a fundraiser hosted by the Poker Alliance. So now you don't wonder why he's for it.
Why can't we have a fundraiser
and
like
put
that?
Our fundraiser's right here, for God's sakes. All they have to do is hit the little button.
PayPal, baby. PayPal.
That's right.
And
we take it.
and would establish federal oversight on online gambling firms in exchange for five-year licenses that would include protections aimed at weeding out underage players, compulsive gamblers, and criminal activity. Online sports betting would remain illegal. But, I mean, I love this. They're going to pass a law, I love this, that's going to weed out the compulsive gamblers. Now, I mean,
genius.
Yes.
It's genius.
Well,
only the government could do that.
That's right. They have a wand. Well, the beauty of this, the law will say, if you're a compulsive gambler, you can't go here.
Right, right. Call this number instead.
It'll be like the entrance.
Not only
adult,
that, you can't
adult
live.
Content, if you're under 18, click, don't go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in. You're under 18.
How about
18?
This?
You can't even live near.
If you're watching us on Justin TV, if we get $10 donation, we'll have Lisa take her top off.
Whoa! Wow. Wait! I got $8.50 right here.
No, it can't come from the cast.
Oh,
yeah.
This is
well,
a
you didn't
solicitation.
Say that. Changing the rules.
We can't do that on
like
Justin.
Like a government
TV.
Program.
Yeah, she's got
the
a bra
rules.
On. Oh no, she doesn't. Mm. Okay, all right. Well, whatever.
Next time.
$10 a roll.
I was just trying to get some money. Okay.
Ten lousy bucks.
Pretty cheap.
No,
yeah,
no, we need one contribution of $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I bet you we can get her to do a lot of things for $1 million.
No,
million bucks.
This is a clean, family oriented show.
Not for $1 million bucks.
No, for $1 million bucks. For $1 million.
We'll turn this really quick into whatever you want.
Cam four,
exactly, in 2 seconds.
Do you mind? It's called the Jimmy Dones.
Oh, sorry. Jim.
Not for $1 million. It's called the Engineer Eric and Lisa
Jimmy,
Show.
Jimmy, sign out.
Jimmy, exactly.
I'll bet you Jimmy sells for about $100,000.
Grand, right.
I am not that cheap. $200,000.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to pay. I have some debts to pay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Roscoe might be by here, as a matter of fact. Or Guido, one of the other. But as usual, the last sentence in this thing. The Spencer representative Spencer Backus R. Alabama, ranking member on Frank's committee, vowed in a statement to oppose the effort, saying internet gambling is a threat to the youth of our country. Young people are particularly at risk because if you put a computer in their bedroom or dorm room, the temptation that many cannot resist. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Save us, thank goodness.
Yeah, no, this is unbelievable.
So Backus, what would we do without him? Golly, I'm so thankful.
All right, what else we got?
Saved.
We can take a little break and come back, or no? Where do we keep going?
No breaks. We can take it.
There's no breaks.
No, we can totally take a break.
That might have been the old days.
Get the whip out. Get the jack whip.
Now,
we got to keep him in his chair.
I can keep going. I got
hours.
There you go.
What'd you get? Conceded already.
Yeah, I'm back. What you got, counselor?
I got several big things.
Well,
actually.
That's where I was
going. Okay, well.
Well, I mean, let me here, Jimmy. In a new potential record for shortest half life of a legislative program, Obama announced a quote new health care plan like 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Okay, like exactly. Except that already, it's already like halfway into the garbage can.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Pelosi said she'd look at it.
Man,
she'd look at it.
Like on the toilet is where she's going to look at it. I mean, there is.
That's a scary, scary.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
Wait. I haven't eaten dinner yet, man.
We have
that's
pizza.
Just not.
My
yeah,
point
I know.
Is this,
I'm not going to eat it now.
Is it there's a health care too? Is that
here's my point, Jimmy. Tell me, I want you to use your powers of amazing powers of perception, Jimmy. And I want you to tell me, yes.
Amazing Kreskin.
Exactly.
He's holding it up to his head.
What is going to be new about this plan? I mean, is there going to be anything new? Or is
what,
this?
Somebody told me that basically what he did is he took the Senate plan, 2,500 pages, and kind of, you know, shuffled it like you shuffle a deck of cards and said, there it is again, something along those lines. And I don't know, maybe.
It's totally new. We put these provisions in the front of the bill.
Right.
They got rid of the Cornhusker deal.
Yeah, no, that's
right. They got rid of that.
But the
Louisiana Purchase is
still there. That's right.
So Louisiana Purchase.
Go, yeah. but what's funny about
Mardi Gras?
It's already dead. I mean, they're going to have the summit, I think, aren't they going to? No, it's a job summit, like tomorrow.
There's another thing. And Jimmy, I mean, yeah, the job summit. And then again, last week, they created a brand new federal commission
right.
to deal with the debt.
A bipartisan commission. I have.
No, because they couldn't figure out how to do it themselves.
Well, no,
that's their freaking job.
Well, no, exactly.
We've elected them to do that, and so they're gonna pass the buck.
Well, no. The point is that there's only two ways to fix it, right? I mean, am I right, Jimmy? It's the free market, or it's some kind of dictatorial control.
Which won't fix it.
Which won't work.
Right.
Okay. So
There's only one way to fix it.
Well, right. But these guys don't know that. Like, they don't know what the problem is.
You should write them a letter.
And, well, I mean, it's just...
You're an attorney.
Yeah.
You have a word processor.
Yeah.
They've created
against the wall.
An 18-person committee.
Right.
With two heads. Okay.
Two heads.
A hydra.
A hydra.
They picked the 18. So there's six Republicans.
Right.
There's six Democrats, and then Obama picked six.
Right.
That's fair.
And he picked four Democrats and two Republicans.
Big freaking surprise.
But then there's a gaming in the voting where you have only like 14 of them have to vote for the same thing, or it doesn't, or doesn't pass. Like, it's not a majority vote thing.
Right. It's like beer pong.
What is it? Some kind of a supermajority or something?
Yes, have it's like a supermajority.
So some of them can filibuster.
Look, this is going to make a committee camel look like a
committee camel.
Yeah, I mean,
which in other words, a horse that you'd hope would look like a camel.
Right.
Is going to look like an alien squid.
Some horrible genetic problem.
Yeah, I mean, like somebody tried to cross a giant octopus
with a squid bear,
cockroach or something, and end up with
man bear pig,
or monkey
fish squirrel.
Right. That's right, or something, or like somebody vomited, and that's what it's going to look like.
Right.
Yeah.
That's gonna be
there's chunks in there.
All right, kids, it is now my job to teach you the theory of evolution.
Oh boy.
Now I for one think that evolution is a bunch of bull crap, but I've been told I have to teach it anyway. It was thought up by Charles Darwin, and it goes something like this. In the beginning we were all fish, okay? Swimming around in the water. And then one day a couple of fish had a retard baby, and the retard baby was different, so it got to live. So retard fish goes on to make more retard babies, and then one day a retard baby fish crawled out of the ocean with its mutant fish hands, and it had butt sex with a squirrel or something and made this, retard frog squirrel, and then that had a retard baby, which was a monkey fish frog.
This is like a flowchart.
And then this monkey fish frog had butt sex with that monkey, and that monkey had a mutant retard baby that screwed another monkey, and that made you. So there you go. You're the retarded offspring of five monkeys having butt sex with a fish squirrel. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's like a flowchart for the Obama administration.
We can draw that. Yeah.
Kansas believes that.
Well, of course, they also have, if you really want to see it in living video, you can pull that clip up from the YouTube on Homer's Dream, the opening on the...
Oh, my God.
The opening where it starts off as a fish.
Well, he starts off as a little sperm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it ends up as Homer. I mean,
he goes through all the evolutions.
That's like 80 seconds, the entire evolution. It's one of the funniest clips you'll ever see.
No, it really is.
That's almost as funny as the clip where he does the lie detector.
All right, okay, we're getting off track.
No, about this
federal commission, Jimmy, I just want to say...
It's hysterical. First of all, they have no legal standing.
No. They're just going to make a recommendation.
I know. And you know what's going to happen to the recommendation? Here's your recommendation, and... See how it goes? How it just gets chewed up?
Yeah. Oh, wow, look at that. You got a shredder.
Yeah. I just shredded the first hour of notes. Oops. And the next hour.
Yeah,
I have nothing left to say.
It has to be that way because, of course, they can't. There are no other solutions. You get communism or you get freedom, and then everything else is just in between.
Well, it's even worse than that. Let me tell you, I saw on C-SPAN. They've been running it, actually. It's called Adam Smith or something like that. It's an hour special on C-SPAN where they have Amity Schles, who is a... Amity Schles is a really good... She looks real young, but she's been around for a while. And her latest book is called something. It's The Forgotten Man, and it's about the Depression and how Roosevelt ruined it and so forth. So she's a real libertarian type conservative person to a large extent, and debating this guy named David somebody, and I can't remember his last name, who is a PhD economist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stunning that Mr. PhD economist, and he actually looks the wacko part, you know, half shaven, a house type beard, you know, from House,
right.
Disheveled hair, but I mean, it is the guy has no idea about basic economics and job creation. One of the things that people don't realize is that job creation can only come from one place and one place only, and that is private savings from capital. You can't spend your way into a job. You can't use current consumption. It has to come from capital formation, and that only can come from private savings. There is no other place. And so if you discourage any way, if you discourage private savings and you tax it like you have capital gains tax and stuff like this, you are doomed not to create the jobs that you think, which is one of the reasons that they spend all this money on supposedly the jobs. And of course, that's one of the things that I like about it. At least they're honest. They call it government job creation. And of course, what they mean is there are a lot of government jobs being created.
And that's
the only kind you can create.
Right. Right.
You cannot create a private sector job with stimulus. Why?
No.
Because you walk in there and even if you hand the business person, you know, $400,000 and say, please create 10 jobs, he's going to look at you and say, why?
What? How about?
Yeah, what job are you talking about? Right. And what's going to happen next year?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
I mean, nobody's spending any money. Nobody's buying my product. I mean, what are you talking about? And you know it's a 12-month deal, and you're out of there.
Right. I, Jimmy, I couldn't agree with you more. And I tell you, this brings up my first nomination for worst argument of the decade.
Okay, I love it. Okay, good.
I can't believe this has already come out. And this is from the frequent nominee Eleanor Cliff on the
McLaughlin Group.
Right. And here's what she said, okay? McLaughlin turns to her and says, what should Obama spend the money on? What kind of jobs should he spend it on, okay? The age-old Keynesian question, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what does she do? She cites the argument that Keynes used to Roosevelt. She says, well, when Mr. Roosevelt asked Mr. Keynes, what should we spend the money on? Keynes said, well, Mr. Roosevelt, the American people like pyramids. Okay? Pyramids. All right? And his
point...
And
they're good for you, too, because they got that aura thing.
Right, well, then they got a couple more sides, and you can climb to the top and
right.
see stuff. And then the point was... His point...
He can see stuff.
His point was that you can spend it on anything. Okay? All right? Her point, Eleanor Cliff's point, was that Keynes's point sucked really bad, and yet Roosevelt still gave him the money, okay? Such that you don't need any kind of a good job to fund this stuff with. In other words, it could be anything. It could be ditch digging, okay?
Well, Keynes actually said that as far as he said someplace, and I have to pull it out somewhere. I don't think it was in the
It was in his main work.
It was not his main group. That may have been, but I'm saying there was something else that he wrote about. He said, you can, if you dig a hole and fill it up with pound notes, he was British, of course,
right.
and fill it up and then pay people to basically dig up the hole, and that will stimulate the economy.
Right, right.
The rich get richer.
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
Well, I mean, I thought it was unbelievable. Like she was almost saying, well, you don't need a point. We're just gonna say
whatever we want.
Well, it's the same concept when people say war stimulates the economy,
right?
And
exactly.
It's like okay, so we're gonna make we're gonna put a lot of effort into this stuff, and then we're gonna blow it up,
right?
Okay, that creates a lot of wealth there,
right?
You know,
not
yeah.
much. Well, and that's
yeah.
the other thing that people say, that the Second World War, of course, was what because of that bailed us out of the Depression. Well, when you realize that, first of all, everybody was working on the war effort, so there was no unemployment, number one. But the main thing was that people don't realize is people were living at a vastly reduced standard of living. They were living on, you know, they weren't allowed to drive, buy gas. They had everything was rationed.
But,
and
but
took all their money and they stashed it, which is capital.
Right.
Which
but was the
saving.
Best part was that they pushed all the tanks and over the cliffs and they cut all the airplanes up and they didn't give it to anybody. And all that hard-earned work, all that aluminum that got out of the ground and got made into those cool airplanes and stuff like that, all went away.
Well, as I say, even now when you think about it, I don't know what the numbers are, but... When you send a cruise missile, I mean, somebody, all the technology in a cruise missile, and what happened? Kaboom! And you blow up a camel's butt with it or something.
Well, to be fair to those people, what they continually point out is that all these technologies were developed because of the war effort, okay?
Like they would never have been developed.
Well, then that's what they failed to see is two things. Number one, okay, you might have got these technologies out of it by having these people slave and bust their butts in 17-hour days, you pushed through these advancements through society.
And we got the Jeep.
Right. And the cost was 60,000 lives.
That was the thing that I like is when everybody talks about the space program, they always talk about two things, Tang and Teflon.
Tang.
I'm thinking, boy, there's something that really raised the standard of living across the board. Whoa! Certainly wouldn't want to have to clean them pots and pans without that stuff.
If you send a man to the moon and back, you get Teflon and Tang.
The point is that those things could be great, and there could be 100,000 other things which add to the benefits of society and make
Murder
it easier.
Tang would give us 10,000 other things if you just gave
the
him
deal.
The money.
Exactly.
Realize... That this is this classic case, though, of the government picking the winners and the losers.
Right.
And if you invest enough money in something, you might get a result. That, like you say, the untold billions to put a man on the moon, that's fine. And now the nice thing is when the aliens show up here, four billion years from now and go to the moon, there'll be Richard Nixon's picture on there with the American flag waving in the no breeze.
Well, they get a souvenir.
And they get a souvenir, right.
They can bring it
Look
home.
What I found, right. There used to be another species on that planet, whatever. My point is that when you take capital, which is the government, of course, always sucks up capital. And when you take that capital, that means that there was something else that wasn't able to be invented.
Right.
I think about, for instance, one of the people they talk about the telephone as we deregulated when the Supreme Court essentially busted up AT&T.
Right.
And made the seven baby bells.
Ma Bell.
Well, all right. Busted up Ma Bell and the seven baby bells. But the whole thing was they had been regulated. They had been regulated for 100 years. Now, the question is, and this was called a natural monopoly, the question would have been, what would have happened if in 1871 or 81 or whatever it is when they set up to regulate the Bell system, if they had just said, no, go for it, do whatever you're going to do. I guarantee you, we'd have had cell phones by, 1910.
How about the road?
I mean, before electricity.
Well, but again, even I think you talked about this before, but like the road program, in other words, if they didn't put all this money into roads, we'd have all had land speeders by now.
That's not all. I mean, of course, that whole transportation thing is really a screaming riot because you think about what the car is. The car to government is the greatest money maker on this planet. I mean, you think about it. They suck car people dry. You have to buy a big fat tag every year, and the price goes up. You have to pay gasoline taxes, and here locally, we pay an extra penny
or two. The government owns the car companies now.
Well, that's right. And of course, they're going to get better cars out of that. Like the Russians did with the Skoda.
Yeah, I love that one.
What was the Volga or whatever? The Volga?
Yeah, right.
The Volva?
Yeah.
What was it? What was the name of that Russian car that the Skoda, what was the one that they used to drive around during the Cold War?
But it was something else.
Oh, an Edsel was a palace compared to this. They'd have killed for an Edsel. And actually, if the Ford company had been smart, they would have sold the Edsels over there instead of whatever that the state-run car was.
Exactly.
No, I mean, seriously, they had a thing, and I forget what it was. They showed some of them, and they were the most polluting, noisiest crap. I mean, they were like, the three-wheeled postal car. Things are the things that they use in Vietnam. They run around. Okay, it was like that, only it was four wheels.
The jitney sort of?
Yeah, the jitney sort of, only it was four wheels, and it spewed smoke, and it made this horrible racket. But the smoke was like, can you imagine? I mean, it was just like overpowering. Just the pollution was unbelievable.
There you go.
But they had made them into limos. It's always fun to see when they had a big deal. This is from the 60s and 70s and 80s. when they had, before the Russian thing fell apart, they would show the people coming up to the Russian Bolshoi Ballet, or the, when they had the meeting when Nixon went over, whatever it was, and they'd show all the dignitaries, and of course the French would come in the Citroën, and the Americans would come in the Cadillac, and then the Russian, because they had to come up in this, whatever this thing was, and of course, you know, the door would like fall off, or yeah, right, and it was just, you know, the great Russian is so funny. Okay, so much for that.
What were we just on? The commission?
Well, okay. Well, you guys want to go a little longer, and we're about an hour right now. You want me to cut it and do another thing, or Jack, you want to?
Yeah, let's take a break.
When do you have? Yeah, let's take a break. Let's go eat some pizza.
All right, let's just do this here.
This is Gene from the Hangar Dogs. You're listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Yes, Jimmy Doan.